Well, God bless you in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles and go to Philippians chapter 2. It's really evident that we are surrounded by darkness on every side. It seems that conversation has become very vulgar. And when I say vulgar, I don't necessarily mean four-letter words or seven-letter words or whatever these things are. But vulgar in the sense that it's the common speech of the class of people, so to speak. The common people as opposed to those who have some education is the dictionary's definition of vulgar. To talk about the things that they talk about, to be involved in that conversations that really profit nothing and really don't help the situation. And rather than be lifted up by art and enriched by literature, it seems they've become more, and there have become more ways to further express perversions and disdain for goodness and virtue. And when I say perversions, the Greek word for perversion means to twist away. In other words, where that which was once useful is now twisted out of the way and it becomes incapable of doing what it was designed to do. And that's where I think conversation and art and literature is turning more and more to. Even in our music, it was designed to enlighten our hearts. I think about how David would play for Saul, and Saul would just get at peace and get comforted by the music that he performed. Now it's more to try and get away from what we're in, and you can't get away, to express other things, but mostly dissatisfaction, bad blood, and all of those kinds of things. Our dress has become more provocative. And even our dance evokes more of a military unity than a romantic embrace of one another. However, in reality, there's nothing new under the sun. People have been faced with this in every generation. But there has always been a generation of believing ones and beloved ones who help people get delivered from those things, get their lives delivered to where they can have a blessedness, where they can enjoy benefits, where there was a happiness to their lives and a hope for the future. We've been preached to about hope and about changes and all these things, but it doesn't seem like we have achieved that except for certain elite segments of our society. This has been the story of the world. And I think it's more focused for us because it grabs our attention. The darkness is what I'm speaking about. The vulgarity, the perversions, the disdains have become more grabbing of our attention because the media demands that we pay attention. And whether we're out in the open or we're even in our homes, we're invaded by the media. Regardless, you can put on your television to watch a program or a movie or something like that, and it could be your favorite movie and very uplifting, but you notice that in between there's commercials and they're very harassing in a lot of respects. Or news commentary, because the news is designed to be provocative, to grab your attention so that you read the stories, and a lot of it has to do with challenges. So that which is outside demands to be let inside. So it's getting more difficult to get away from things and the world. Yet still, light always dispels darkness. And ye are lights in the world. Let's go to Philippians chapter 2. This great record, because it gives us instructions to, once again, on how to bring light and truth to the world. Because people want it. People need it. And there is a hunger for it, but they don't know where to get it. And we are lights to the world. In Philippians chapter 2, we'll start in verse 12. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." You know, Paul had been with them. Paul had spent time with them. Paul shared the word of God with them and brought light and life to them. But because of the outreach, the things that are coming against the church at the time, and some of these other things, he's not present with them anymore. And now they need to have systematically built the word of God into their own lives, to have set up for their own lives ways to remain in the truth, ways to enjoy the benefits of the truth, and work out your own salvation, your own wholeness, with fear and trembling, or reverence and obedience. Because we still need to be obedient. "In my absence, carry out the mission of light givers to the world. Teach the word, live the word, and let them see Christ." I think in many situations, we've come to the place where we're accepting from the adversary that we're sort of an illegitimate thing. You know, we're just a group of believers. You know, our ministry is not really legitimate. Yes, our even beloved of God has all of the paperwork and legal ramifications before our country, our federal system, that any other church or denomination or anything else. We lack absolutely nothing. As a matter of fact, I did a wedding this past week in the state of Virginia. I presented my the things of the ministry to them, and they wrote me a authorization to perform weddings in the state of Virginia. We are absolutely legal on everything. Don't believe what the devil says. And even if we weren't, we have a commissioning from God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth. Who wants to challenge that? Well, the adversary does, and he endeavors to talk us out of it. But you have every right to speak the word. You have every right to live his word. And you have every right to show forth Christ in the things that you do. Many places, even among those who receive the teachings of beloved of God, there are no fellowships, at least no fellowships that they attend. No one is gathering to feed the flock of God which is among you, as Peter encouraged in 1 Peter 5, verse 2. There are people who desperately need to know what you know. Desperate to hear what you can teach them. And if you're waiting for someone to authorize you to do a fellowship, to teach the word, I authorize you right now in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm only saying that because God has authorized you in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm just speaking what he would speak. You love to teach the word. I love to teach the word. My blessing is I have this place here, and I have people that I have the opportunity to teach to. But that doesn't stop me from teaching other places. And if you desire to teach a fellowship the Word of God, start one and teach it. Even if you start just one-on-one, maybe inviting a fellow worker for a cup of coffee and sharing the word with them and tell them, bring your Bible. I had a couple of things I wanted to show you. You know, you had mentioned to me a couple of times about this particular situation in your life. And I'm sure you'd like to know what God says is the solution for that situation. Why don't we get together tomorrow for coffee and bring your Bible? And then as you do that, maybe you meet three or four times, you say, hey, you know, this is kind of fun. Why don't we do this on a regular basis? And by the way, if you have some friends, why don't you ask them to come along? Do they drink coffee? I've noticed they serve other drinks too. They serve tea if they don't like coffee. And why don't we get together? And then you can maybe move them to your home as it grows. But you have every right to teach the word. And if you have people who want to hear what you have to teach, start your own fellowship. And if you desire to have a fellowship, the Lord adds to the church daily, such as being saved. Remember that from the book of Acts? Remember, Peter and the apostles shared the word, and in very little time, there were about 3,000 believers. Now, I know you can't fit that in your home. We can't even fit that in our chapel here. But God can bless it if there are people who want to speak and prepare to speak. And I believe that, and I encourage you, satisfy that hunger of your heart. It's a good hunger. Satisfy that desire of your heart. Timothy says it's a good desire. And give them an opportunity, because you, listening to this, you sitting there, you in your vehicle listening to it or at home, you are a light to the world. And you are God's representative. You are the one He is asking to shine. So do that. Work out your own salvation. Work out means give an account of your wholeness. Work out your own salvation. It literally means give an account of your wholeness. Why you are the way you are. And why those people perhaps have told you, I admire something about you. Well, don't just admire it. Come and see. I'll tell you the reason why. I'll show you the reason why. I'll teach you what I learned, because I used to be different. But I have learned to live according to the scriptures and according to God's will. And you know what? It has really been a blessing to my life. It has been the joy of my life. Let them see and teach them how you were rescued from the darkness of this world with reverence and obedience, your love for God and your love for Jesus Christ as our Savior. Can others see Christ's love in me? Well, they not only should see it, they should hear about it and learn how they can be that way and how they can enjoy it and yet not lose their own individuality. Let them see what it's like to live like one who is loved by God. When we know God loves us and we believe God loves us, we'll live like men and women who are loved by God. And when we do that, fear has got to go. All these challenges have got to be gone, because they cannot stand against us. Darkness cannot stand against light. It just has to go. Light will always, always dispel darkness. And all it takes is one who is willing to teach, and you have something to teach and someone to teach it to. And we've got all the ingredients. Everybody everywhere has those great ingredients. You've been listening to me to teach, at least for the last several years. You know the word. You know the scriptures. And I encourage you to really develop and move yourself to do the desire of your heart. Be that representative for God. The devil and the spirits of darkness will always tell you that we're not legitimate or we're not really a real ministry. Oh, yes, we are. We are just as much a ministry as Jesus Christ and his disciples. We are just as much a ministry as Paul and the people he fellowshipped with. We are just as much a ministry as Apollos and, what was his wife? Aquila, that's what I'm talking about. Aquila and Priscilla and Apollos, we are just as legitimate as any of those were in their cultures and under the rules and laws of whatever nations they belonged to and the nations that they traveled in. And you know what they did? They brought light to people and they had fellowship and they carried forth the word. We are too legit to quit, as they say. Verse 13. For it is God, it's which, but it's really who worketh in you both to will and to do of his, what? Good pleasure. Do you believe God is at work within you? He says he is. So, be not afraid. Do it. And you will get better as time goes by. But he's already at work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. So how do you know you're in fellowship with God? Because he works within you to do his
good pleasure.
Good pleasure. Isn't that wonderful? So, should I be sharing the word? Yes. Why? Because God is working within me to will and to do of his good pleasure. And all I'm doing is his good pleasure. And let me ask you, when someone does your good pleasure, are you blessed? Mm-hmm. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation or generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Isn't that magnificent? The word blameless means beyond reproach. Like I say, we are not illegal. We can speak boldly about our... Do you have a right to speak about your father?
Yes.
Do you have a right to speak about your brother? Well, if God is our father and Jesus Christ is our brother, don't we have a right to speak about him?
Yes.
And share about him? Absolutely. And the word harmless means a purity. Why? Because we are 100% undiluted, unmixed sons of God. That you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. There's that word, perverse. The nations were designed to serve God, to worship God, and to praise God. But they became perverse, the nations, or even generations. They have become perverse, which means they are twisted away and no longer capable of providing what they were supposed to do. They're no longer valuable. You know, if I take this recorder and I take the batteries and I rip the wires out of it and I twist it, it will no longer function as a recorder. I might be able to use it for something else, but it is no longer functional for what it was designed to do. You and I were designed, and the generations were designed to praise God, to worship him, to rejoice in him. That's what the generations were, but they've been twisted away by the world to the end that they no longer can serve him. They do a lot of good things, yes, but they are not really serving what they were designed to do, and that's to be lights to the world. We can, because we have worked out our wholeness. We have worked out our salvation. We are right in the center of it. We are right in the center of this world, and there is darkness in the world, but we may remain untarnished by the darkness of this world, right in the center, yet unaffected by it. And people can join us. Isn't that what Jesus Christ was? Think about it. He was in the darkest of the dark, and yet, even in the center of it, even in the midst of it, he was unaffected by it, and he was untarnished by it. And the same for the disciples, the same for the apostles, the same for the believing ones, among whom you shine as lights into the world. You know, sailors, if you've ever been sailing, the way that they learn, and even today we still learn by the same methods, although we have GPS and we have radar and all these other things on the big ships. But every captain of every ship, I think, even still today, has to learn to navigate by the stars. That is the way they make safe passage across the dark waters at night. They look to the stars, not to the darkness. See, neither the gloom of darkness nor the deep voids of space can quench the stars nor halt their radiance. Neither time nor distance can interrupt light's majesty. All the darkness can do is deny the light's presence and to try and get the eye's attention, but they cannot, because even the most disinterested person in the world, he goes out at night and he looks up and he looks at what?
Stars.
The stars. Because light has its own eminence and its own majesty. And ye are lights of the world. That's why you may think no one cares about me, no one looks at me. Yes, they do. Yes, they do, because you are a light of the world, and they will see you, and they will follow you. How? Well, verse 16 then tells us, holding forth the word of life. Holding forth the word of life. That needs someone to teach it, someone to speak it, someone who... You hold it forth daily by the way you live. Mm-hmm. When everybody else at work is all unraveling, you are there calm. And what do they see? Light. Mm-hmm. They do. They pay attention to you. And you have the opportunity to share with them how and why and what God has done for you in Jesus Christ, and what he will do for them. Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And it goes on from there. But that's the great truth. Look at John 12, the Gospel of John. Let's go there. This is what Jesus had to say. See, to hold out and to direct, holding forth the word of life, to hold it out and direct, to become that which people can navigate to Christ. In John chapter 12, verse 26, let's see. That's not the verse. Well, it's all right. If any man serve me, let him follow me. and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I had a verse that talked about him being the light of the world, but the point is, we are lights of the world. We do the same kind of work as Jesus Christ did. 46. Okay, I must have made my 2 to look like a 4. Verse 46, yeah. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide where?
In darkness.
We are the way that people can get out of the darkness. Beautiful. One by one, we can reach them. And you can do what you always desired to do. Help somebody with the truth. And Jesus Christ has no silent partners. We have every right to speak. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. This is a great section of scripture, very familiar to all of you, I know. But it's always a joy and rejoicing to reread it and rethink about it and reset the truths in our minds and in our hearts. Because our responsibility in verse 18, it says, 2 Corinthians 5, I'm sorry. And in verse 18, it says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The word reconcile means to make consistent. It means to win over by friendliness. To make amicable. That's where we get it. We get the word amicable from the Latin word amicus. A friend to the last degree. Inseparable is the word reconcile. God has reconciled us to himself. We are inseparable. We are consistent. He won us with a friendliness. And as a friend to the last degree. How many times did Jesus talk about friends? This is a way that we can do it. And not only that, he has given to us the ministry, the sacred service of reconciling the world to himself. The sacred service of consistency, to win by friendliness and to make it inseparable. Verse 19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. The sacred service, the word that brings us together with God who is love, and God who is light, and in whom there is no darkness at all. We have received that sacred service. We have received the blessing of it, not just the work of it, but it's a blessing because we are inseparable and God is at work within you to will and to do of his good pleasure. And if you have felt that God has been working in your heart to teach the word to somebody, I encourage you, teach them. If you have felt that God has been working within you to lead a group of people. I encourage you to go ahead and begin a fellowship and help people, because you should do what you love to do, preach and teach the word. And I encourage you everywhere to preach and teach the word and bring people to the understanding that God has reconciled them to himself, so that we may be lights to the world. Bless your hearts.